Welcome to the Father's Vineyard Audio Podcast. Here is today's message.
It's good to be here today, isn't it? Doesn't the church look beautiful? I want to thank the pastors and staff for coming and sacrificing your time and doing all this and putting this up. There's one thing, Lynn, if you'll hand me that right there. That's really not part of the decorations. am I in your way?
No, sir.
Oh, okay. All right. Yeah, sure.
All right. We're going to ask Mark Churchill to come around at this time. We have some graduates from ICIT, and what that's about. Amen. That's one of the disciple classes we do here that's called In Christ's Image Training. And we hadn't been able to give out certificates due to the corona that's going on and all that. But this year we have some of the graduates that graduated in 2020 and 21. So we're going to turn it over to Mark. But also just want to make an announcement. If you would like to go through ICIT, we will have a sign-up sheet next Sunday. And if you would like to do that, just sign up at the Communication Center next Sunday. I have that sheet out for you, okay?
First one we have is Kathy Bonick. She completed level 1 and 2.
Excuse me, Miss Kathy. Just come this way for a second.
We have Chris Harding completed level 1. After graduating, they know better than take my paper. Okay. The next one is Marty Harding. She completed level 1 and 2. Next is Darren Joyner, level 1 and 2. Never do it. Okay. Samantha Morris, level 1 and 2. Okay, we have Antoni Staley, level 1 and 2. So we're including Marisol Staley. Marisol completed level 1, and then she was slightly interrupted with childbirth. Next is Lynn Tupick, level 1 and 2. Last but not least is Sonia Tweedy, level 1 and 2. We had a great class, and it's really a lot of perseverance on the part of the people who came out, because we got interrupted twice. They had to do some things that we normally are there to assist a little more with, and they did it a lot on their own, but they all persevered, every one of them. So I really want to thank them. As Pastor John said, we're looking forward to next year's class. I would plan on having it start around January 5th on Wednesdays. It's Wednesday nights. If you take level 1 and 2, it takes most of the year. But we would love to have you guys come out. If you want to know what it is, Paul the Apostle talked about eating solid food, and there's a lot of solid food, you'll get there. And we know how much we love solid food here, right? Okay, hope to see you. Thank you.
Amen. Mark, you did a great job of facilitating this class. I've heard a lot of comments about they really enjoy your teaching and your follow-up of the class, and it's always good. I want to ask a question. How many of you have taken and you've completed ICIT? If you will, just stand up. See, my goal is to have every person that goes to this church, and we've had great. That is so good. Glad to have you. Our goal is to, I went through it in 2004, 2005, something like that. And I knew we needed to have it here. It is about developing our character in Christ and becoming more like Him. To see, the purpose of our being here is to become like Him. And if we become like Him, everything we do will be as He would do it. That's important. You know, you can have all the programs, you can have all the things going on, but if you're not like Christ in the process of that, you may say something, do something, and hurt people, but we don't want to hurt people, right? Now, we know the truth offends people sometimes, but we do that in a loving, loving way. Amen? But we welcome everybody to take that class, and it's very, I mean, the cost of it is, we've got it knocked down pretty low because we have a license. We are probably one of three churches that have a license to have the school here. And because we have the license, we can offer it at a much lower discount. So join up for that and sign up for it. It's a wonderful thing to go through. Just another update. The Somervilles, they've already started. Scott and Isabel, they've already started on the perimeter fence. They're clearing the area and getting it done. And they wanted to say thank you so much for your generosity, and actually more than what they wanted came in, and it's all because of your love and your willingness to give and to these needs. But they're doing a great job down there. The other thing I want to mention is what's going to happen December the 19th. What? I need one person. Arbor Wind Trio will be here that Sunday. Invite people to come. You will enjoy that service so much. And also their son, who is a classical guitar player. And Charlie says, make sure they bring him. Make sure they bring him. You know, but he is coming, and we're going to have a wonderful time. Wear red that Sunday. That's the last Sunday before Christmas. And so wear red that Sunday, and we'll just have a wonderful time worshiping God. I'm going to share with you today. Hasn't today been an unusual time in His presence? It has been for me. I hope it has for you. Just I sense the sweetness of who He is. Did anybody else experience that during a week? It was just a sweetness of God's presence and all. You know, don't take that for granted. Never take that for granted. We've had people to come, and we've had the people from East Flat Rock that they are moving. I think it was mentioned the other day, the Sunday, that they're moving from East Flat Rock down here. And believe it or not, they're about 4 miles away from me. So they're going to move 4 miles away from me, and we're just glad to have them in the neighborhood, but we're glad to have them here at the church. But she said, when they were moving, she was mentioning that we just hate to leave this church. We don't want to leave, but we need to get somewhere that we can get involved and everything. And I didn't know where this moving to. And they finally told me where this moving. I said, if I can travel 30 minutes, you can travel 30 minutes. Come on, you know. But that she was saying 30 minutes. She thought it was going to be about a little over an hour to be able to get here, you know, going 26 and 74 and the long way around. But she just started, Brenda told her, said, no, it's just about, for you, it's about 35 minutes. And she started crying, you know, knowing that she didn't have to leave this church. And she's made a statement that I want to share with you. She said, do not take for granted what you have here. do not take for granted. She said, this is a special place. And she said, we have visited a lot of churches, a lot of churches. She said, there's none like this one that we visited. She said, don't take it for granted that the presence of God is here among you. And I agree with that. I mean, I'm not saying that he's not anywhere else, but I know he's here. And, amen. You know, around this time of year, you have all these things, and we had the angels here this morning. You know, but the angels were present before they got here. You know, so during this season, you see a lot of things when you read the Bible. A lot of the spectacular, a lot of the miraculous, a lot of the things that was announcing Christ's birth. You see all that happening. You see people getting revelation through dreams and visions, and God speaking to people. God showing up as an angel. You know, and telling people, you know, telling Mary, you know, you're going to be with child. And she said, how can this be? How can this be? You know, so I look at this thing sometimes this season, but, you know, that's a season he wants us to experience all the time, is the revelation knowledge that he wants to give us and have us to be informed through revelation. And not just through information. How many of you know we live in an information age? I mean, how many of you know it's coming at us so fast you can't keep up with it? You know, no sooner than you get, you know, the latest phone, you know, just a few more months, they'll be the next biggest thing is out. I mean, so it's constantly changing. The information age is there. But I think what we're weaker in is not the information. It is the revelation. And the revelational knowledge that we need to have. And I think it's very important that the church grasp the thought and the process of revelation knowledge and the mysteries of God. Seeing and understanding the mysteries of God. How many of you know sometimes, you know, we see God and it's a mystery of what we see. Three of you? It's a mystery of what we say. Listen, how many of you know that no one here has the full knowledge of God? We don't know everything about God. That means we need to know more, right? Well, let me ask the question. Is anybody here, you know it all? You know. Brenda said, I used to be that way. Years ago, she said, you think you know it all? And I looked at her and I said, and this has been years and years ago. And I said, no, I don't. No, I don't. She said, yeah, you think you know it all. And I said, no, I know I know it all. Cha-ching! Then the Lord begins to humble the people who know it all. Amen? But see, I want you to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Paul here is 1 Corinthians chapter 2. He said, I am determined to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. He said, I'm determined to know nothing except Jesus Christ and him crucified among us, you know, among those people. He said, and I was with you in weakness, in fear, and much trembling. Imagine that. Paul said, I was with you in weakness, in fear, and in much trembling. And my message and my preaching were not in persuasive words of wisdom. They were not eloquent words. And but they came in a demonstration of spirit and a demonstration of power. Amen. And he says this reason, that your faith should not rest on the wisdom of men. See, our faith should not rest on what man tells us. Right? The wisdom of man is not where we place our faith. Our faith is placed upon him and him alone and what he tells us. And he goes on, he says, not placed on the wisdom of men, but on the power of God. How many of you know the church really needs to release more power, the power of God? Amen? And not be afraid of it, not be ashamed of it, but be bold. But be bold with who we are and who he is and what we know to be revelation knowledge for us. You know, it's not, like I said, it's not just about how much information do you have. It's really how much revelation knowledge you have. See, it's not just the Word of God that we need. How many of you know we need the Word of God? But we also need the Spirit of God. See, it's the marriage of the two. It's the connecting of the two, that we have the Word of God, we cherish the Word of God. It's the written Word of God. It's the Logos of God. And then the Spirit brings along the Rhema, the ever-speaking of God. And we need that. He goes on in verse 6 and he says, yet we do speak wisdom among those who are mature. See, you know, we do speak the wisdom of those who are growing up, who are mature. A wisdom, however, this is not of this age, nor of the rulers of this age who are passing away. But we speak God's wisdom in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God predestined before the ages to, and that's also for our glory. So the mysteries of God are for our glory and to us becoming in His glory. To us becoming glorious, to us becoming the more Christ-like character and presenting it in such a way that it's beyond a doubt that they will look at us and say, I can tell they have been with Jesus. That's what they said of the disciples. They're ignorant men. They're uneducated men. But we took note that they had been with Jesus. Why is that? It made such an impact on their living that it came out of them of what He imparted. You know, you can teach what you know, but you impart who you are. You can teach a lot of things that you know, but an impartation comes from who you are. That's what you can impart. So if you are, you know, you may know a lot of things about not being afraid, but if you're fearful, what are you going to impart? You're going to impart fear. Even though you know the Bible says don't be fearful, right? So we have to be a people that this impartation that Christ has given us, we're able to give that to others, to impart that to other people, because that's what we're here for. But see, the thing is, we've got to have this not just information about the Bible, right? Not just information about the Bible, but what God, through the Spirit of God, is telling us about the Bible and how we are to live that out, being empowered by the Spirit of God to be able to do that. So I know some people that know this book, you know, very well. They don't know Him. How do you know that? Just by the way they live. See, it's not, you can have all the knowledge of this Word, but without the revelation of knowledge, without the Spirit of God illuminating things, then it's just words. So we need to break away from just being familiar with the Word of God, and we need to have the revelation of what the Word of God is telling us. You know, having revelatory things come to us is the one thing that keeps us from being a formula church. How many of you know what I mean by a formula church? Everything has a formula, it has a way, and it's the only way we know how, it's the way we've always done it, and it's the way we've always done it, we're always going to do it this way. See, a formula church is one that really needs the revelatory knowledge that comes from the Holy Spirit. And then we can break away from the formula. See, that's the reason Jesus didn't heal everybody the same way. Why is that? It wasn't about a formula to Him. What was it about? What did it say about Jesus, about what He says and what He does? He only said what He heard the Father say. Jesus depended upon the revelatory knowledge of the Father coming to Him. And He only did what? He only did what He saw the Father do, or the Father doing. Once again, the revelatory of seeing, the revelatory knowledge of hearing is what was inspiring Jesus to do the things of God, to do the things of His Father. You know, because he never stopped being King, He never stopped being God, but he laid the equalness of that aside and became a bond servant, a bond slave. Why? So He could become man. He could become like you and I. That's the reason He needed the power of the Holy Spirit to come upon him at his baptism. No miracles until that happened. So we need the same. See, we need the same. We need to be operating in and through and by the power of the Holy Spirit. But it's to our glory that these mysteries are here. And he goes on and says in verse 10, "For to us God revealed them through the Spirit." See, there's a revealing of the mysteries and revealing of the kingdom. There's a revealing of who he is. There's a revealing of what we need to do. And that's all revelatory. It's all revelation knowledge. You know, when the Bible says, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Know the truth? Does that have a knowledge of it? Mm-mm. The word know means that you have become one with it. In other words, it is now who you are. It's part of who you are. It can't be taken away. Why is that? Because the Spirit of God has related it to you in such a way that you have become intimate with it. I'll jump ahead just a moment in this to give you one example of that. One example of that is this. The woman with the issue of blood, 12 years with it. Does anybody remember what she said? If I could just touch the hem of his garment. What did she say after that? I will be healed. I will be made whole. But you know, it's good to hear that, but in the depth of the revelatory scene of that, she didn't just say it. In that passage, it meant that she kept saying it to herself. She continued to say it to herself. That word, and that word in saying it, mean, this is just powerful. In saying it, it means to lie down with, to lie together. To what? She just didn't talk about it. She had already become one with it. This revelation knowledge that she got, that if she just touched, she would be made whole. And the Bible says she continued to say it because she was laying with it. She was resting with it. She had become one with it. You shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. You shall be intimately one with that truth. See, the truth that you're not intimately one with, it won't make you free. It's just knowledge. And knowledge in itself will do what? It'll puff up. Yeah. Let me ask you, has anybody ever been puffed up with what you know? I got some honest people on this side. I don't have as many on this side, but I got honest people on this side. No, I'm messing with you. I'm really kidding with you. But see, I mean, yeah, all of a sudden you think you know the Bible, you think you know this, and we think we know, oh man, we got, yeah, oh yeah, he's this, he's that, he's a scholar. Until all of a sudden God reveals something and it just tears your knowing all to pieces. Are y'all with me? I mean, you think you know John 3:16 until he shows you what John 3:16 looks like. Are you? You shall know, be intimate, lie with, to be intimate. See, that's the saying of it. But see, the thing is, she valued it so much, she kept saying it to herself, because the Bible said she kept saying this within herself. If I can just touch the hem of his garment, I'll be made whole. If I can just touch the hem of his garment, I can be made whole. If I can just touch the hem of his garment, I can be made whole. And there was a crowd around her. If I can just if I can just touch the hem of his garment, I gotta get by. I'm her, not me. I'm in the spirit world. So, listen to it. But if I can just, because there was a crowded, pressing. If I can just touch. Kept saying, if I can just touch, I'll be made whole. Why? It's a revelation to her. Revelation knowledge has come to her, and she's pressing. She's pressing for it to manifest. Boy, we need that. Because you got the resistance of the crowd. You got the resistance of people. You got the resistance of voices. You got the resistance of all of the stuff. All of the voices and all the things coming at, all the things yelling at you. Don't do it. It's not going to work. It hasn't worked for years. Forget about it. You're doomed with it. You'll always have. If I can just touch. She didn't say, if I can just get him to talk to me. If I can just get him to look at me. No, she said, if I can just touch. Just a little hint of his garment, I will be made whole. See, the church needs the revelatory knowledge. We need the speaking of God. We need the spoken word, but we still need the speaking of God. The speaking of God. When can it happen? In the middle of the night, during a song, during prayer. I mean, it can happen anytime. It can happen at Walmart. It can happen getting gas. It can happen anytime. How does it happen? It can come through a dream. It did during those days with Mary and them. Come through a dream. It come through angels speaking to you. See, when we try to make it what it has to be, we've already lost what it is. When we try to make it what we think it has to be, we've already lost what it is. That make sense? Sometimes some of the unrevealed things, you know, that God has not revealed to us yet. But see, the Bible says that God has revealed some of these things to us. And there's going to be more revealing through the power of His Spirit. But see, the things that we really hasn't been really revealed yet, when we start formulating answers for those things that haven't been revealed yet, when the revelation comes, we'll miss it. Why? Because we've already got an answer. Are y'all hearing me? Yes. I've already got an answer for that. Well, here comes God with the revelation of it. You're going to open it up for, I already know that one. It's like God coming to Adam and say, Adam, where are you? What did Adam not realize? He'd lost. God knew where he was. He was revealing to Adam what's happened. You know, Adam went from revelation to information. Y'all got that? He went from revelation to information. It's just information. That's the reason. What kind of information? I got to cover up. God didn't tell him to cover up. got to cut these fig leaves. I cover up. Why? Now we see nakedness instead of seeing glory. See, it was a tree of knowledge, the tree of not just evil, but the tree of good. And he said, there's some goods he don't want you messing with. Why? He said, no, don't you eat of the tree of good and evil. So if you make your mind up, you already know about that. Here comes another speaker, and it's going to be about salvation. I already know about salvation. You may be saved, but I'm sure you don't know everything they already know about salvation. In the fullness. Y'all hear me? So I've heard that topic. Well, you may have. But if your mind made up, you've already got the answers, you're going to miss the answers that God's given you. You won't see them. You won't hear them. Well, my mind's already made up. Amen. All right. But God has revealed them through the Spirit, and the Spirit searches all things, even the depths of God. That's the reason you need the Word of God to read it, and then you need the Spirit of God to search the depths of God, the deep things of God. I'm willing to tell you we're probably ankle level. Maybe. Of understanding and knowing the depths of God. That's the reason we need the Spirit speaking to us. We need to have that revelatory encounter with His presence. Even the depths of God. And who among you knows the thoughts of a man except the spirit of that man which is in him? Even though the thoughts of God, no one knows except the Spirit of God. So no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God, and the Spirit of God is going to reveal it to you. That's the revelation knowledge. And he said he'll give it to you that we might know the things freely given to us from God. What does that say? There's things that God has freely given to us that we don't know about. It'll keep you humble. Which of these things also speak not in words taught by human wisdom, but in those things, in those taught by the Spirit, combining the spiritual thoughts and spiritual words. For the natural man, this is ungoverned, or it's ungoverned by God, and it's only governed by human wisdom, only governed by human beings, the natural, unregenerated. He does not accept the things of God. The things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, and he cannot understand them because they are spiritually appraised. Revelatory knowledge, revelation knowledge. Over in 1 Corinthians 3, the next chapter over, it says, I, brethren, could not speak. Listen to this. Here's something. If you're unregenerated, there's so much of the knowledge of God. You know, he'll speak to you, just let you know you're not saved. But see, there's other things that keeps us from this revelatory thing. And watch this. He says, and I, brethren, could not speak to you as spiritual people. I, brethren, who are they? They're the brothers and sisters. I could not speak to you as spiritual people. Why? Because you're carnal. You're fleshly. Carnality is a fleshly mindset that you have, even though they're Christians. And he says, I can only speak to you as you're a baby. I hear a baby ooing, you know, yeah. I can only speak to you as a baby. Paul had revelatory things to impart to the people, but he said, I can't give it to you. He goes on and says, you're unable. You're unable to hear it. Why is that? Why am I unable? I'm born again. Why am I unable? He said, well, because you're only drinking milk. You're pushing away, as Mark was saying, you're pushing away the meat. Nah, that's too difficult. I don't want to. Just give me the milk. Satisfy me. Just give me a word that makes me happy. Now, don't give me anything I have to chew on. Make it easy for me. I can't forget it. He said, even until now, you're unable to receive it. Even until now. Even now, you can't receive it. Why? You're still a baby. How does he know? How does he know they're still babies? He goes on down in verse 3. He said, you're still carnal. You're still a baby. Why is that? Because you envy. You have strife. You have divisions. Y'all get it? You got the deeds of the flesh that you're actually working in and walking in instead of walking in the Spirit. So as long as you're doing that, you're not going to be able to hear the revelatory things that God wants you to hear. Why? Because you're not able to take it. You're not able to listen to it. You're not able to hear it. Being mad dog mad at somebody without forgiveness will stop your hearing the revelation from God. He'll talk to you about the very thing that you're in to reveal to you that you need to change that. Are you not carnal? And what he said, when you have all these things going on, are you not carnal and walking as mere men? Just mere men. Here's another one for you. He goes on and says, but some of you are saying, I'm of Paul. I'm of Apollos. I'm of Paul. I'm of Apollos. Another one says, Paul gives it and says, are you not carnal? Well, how's that done today? Get ready. Well, I'm of the Baptist. I'm of the Methodist. I'm of the Charismatic. I'm of the Pentecostal. I'm of this. No. Are you not carnal? You hear me? You know, denominations are good. There's nothing wrong with denominations until they become how you have to live. Because if they veer from this, you can't just pick and choose in here and say, well, I don't really, God, yeah, I know Jesus has died on the cross, and I know he's saved. I know he's saved me. I know he's forgiven my sins, but that's all I need. Mm-mm. No. It's not all you need. Jesus wants you to mature, grow, and have the revelation knowledge come to you so you'll know. Do you know what? I passed 15 churches on my way to church, on my way to this house today. Counted them. 1, 2, 3. 15 of them. Why would I do that? I got one less than a half a mile from me. Why would I do that? I know. It's over in Numbers of me being at this church, right? No. Why would I do that? This is where he has sent me. This is where he has, by revelation, said, here's where you need to be. That's the reason you can drive by. It's not that 15 churches were bad, wrong, or anything of that nature. Probably great churches, probably great houses to worship God. But that's not the one I'm supposed to be at. Why? Because God, by the Spirit, has led me here, led you here. It's the reason you're here. Does that make sense? Why? Because there's been some revelation given to you that this is where I need to be. This is where I need to be. When you get the revelation of God's, lots of, when you get the revelation of the goodness of God, what do you know then? If you get I read in the Bible where God is good. Not that, but when you get the revelation of the goodness of God, what do you have? You have his goodness, but what can you not be convinced of? That he's not good. Well, what if you go through something real hard? When you have the revelation of the goodness of God, God is good. When that revelation comes, it doesn't matter what comes. God is good to me. When you get a revelation of the love of God, guess what? You can't be convinced otherwise. No matter what's happening in your life, you can't be convinced that God doesn't love you. We go through difficulties, we go through hardships, we go through all of this stuff, and you say, well, if God loved me, he would. No, you missed it. See, I had an encounter with God about the love of God in my life, and I saw me as very dirty. And then I had an open vision of God being in the room. Seated, and he's saying, I want you to come, I want to hold you. I saw him, I saw me. I can't make it, God. I can't get there. I see me, I can't get there. In this vision, God puts his hands down at my feet. He bends over, puts his hands down at my feet. He says, can you fall? Just fall in my arms. No effort, just a surrender. And I did that. And at that moment, I tangibly felt him hold me. I tangibly felt him loving me. I tangibly felt like he's just cleansing, like, this is not yours, this is not yours, this is not who you are, this is not who you are, and this is not who you are, and this is. See, that was a revelatory thing for me. No one can talk me out of God loving me ever. No matter what we go through, no matter what we face, no matter what's around the corner, God can know. Why is that? I became one with it. I laid with it. It became part of me. Well, if God loved you, why didn't I said, look, there's no if. There's no if God loved me. God loves me. There's a big difference in just having the knowledge or the information, but when it becomes revelatory, when the Holy Spirit has breathed it, when the Holy Spirit has communicated it to you and it goes inside you, it's yours. Well, how can we get more of it? Well, let me tell you without it. Let me tell you something happens without it. Without a vision, people perish. Doesn't mean they die. And that word vision doesn't mean without seeing. That word vision means prophetic knowing, a prophetic vision, a prophetic knowing. In other words, there's been a prophetic revelatory thing that has come. He said, without that, people will run unrestrained. They will be lawless. They will be ungoverned. Because why? They don't have a revelatory vision of who God is and what their lives are supposed to be about. He said, without that, you will run amok. You will run unrestrained. Nothing will restrain you from whatever you want to go do. You just go do. But see, that prophetic, that revelatory thing that comes to you, it has a restraint. Now, you don't need to do that. I can't do that. Yeah. Then Isaiah 5 says this, therefore my people who are in exile, they're there because of lack of knowledge. And this thing about lack of knowledge, their lack of the revelatory knowledge of God. That's the reason it holds you in captivity. That's the reason the church is held in captivity, because of the lack of revelatory knowledge. We've got information, and we're trying to do everything we possibly can with this information that we have out of this book and make it work. And we need to hear God. We need to hear God. We need to have him speak to us. We need, you know, the temptation was this. Jesus goes out and he becomes hungry. He's out in the wilderness and he's led there by the Spirit, led into the wilderness by the Spirit of God. I don't want that. But that's what the Spirit wanted. You hear me? I don't, you know, sign me up. Where are we going? We're going to the wilderness. I ain't going. I'll catch the next bus out. It's like the pastor, like the preacher, the evangelist was saying, who wants to go to heaven? Everybody raised a hand, but this one man, he walked by. He said, man, did you hear the question? He said, yeah. You said, who wants to go to heaven? He said, yeah, that's what I said, but you didn't raise your hand. He said, well, I thought you was getting up a busload now. I want to go, but I don't want to go right now. He said, my people are in captivity because of the lack of this revelatory knowledge. Jesus is hungry. I was about to tell you that. Jesus is hungry. And Satan comes and tempts him. He said, I know you're hungry. He said, won't you command, tell these stones to become bread. What does Jesus say? It is written. It's written. It is written. Man shall not live by bread alone. But he didn't finish there. What else? He said, but on every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. That word there is rhema. But by the ever-speaking God speaking to you, confirming this. And there you go. That's how you do this. The revelation he can either turn them things to bread. But no, that's not what he heard the Father say. That's not what he saw the Father do. He's waiting on the revelatory part. So out of the mouth of God comes, out of the Spirit of God comes. No, don't do it. Just do what I tell you. Because it's not going to be against this. It's not going to be conflicted. All right, I've got to close. Got more, but Mary treasured the things in her heart, right, about the things that she encountered. I'm going to share this with you, and then we'll close. We'll talk about it more next week, but this is what I want to give you. Matthew 13, listen to this. To you, this is the words of Jesus, to you, everybody say to me. Amen. To you it is granted for you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God. To you it is granted for you to know, it's given to you for you to know the mysteries of God. Then he goes on and he says, whoever has, more shall be given. He's talking about the mysteries of God, the revelation. To you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God. Stand to your feet. Say this, it is given to me to know the mysteries of the kingdom. Say it again, it is given to me to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God. Those are red words. It is given to you to know the mysteries of God. It's given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God. Well, I just don't believe it. Ta-da. Start believing it. That's the reason he said it. And watch this. He said, whoever has, what's he talking about? Whoever has, to him more is given. Every revelation that you get from God, when you treasure that revelation, when you treasure it and you hold it in your heart and you treasure it, more revelation is coming. Well, I already know enough. Nah. Not even close. So we've got to get this in us. To us, it has been given to us. It's been given to me to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God. And if I treasure it and I hold it and I hang on to it and I let it live with me, guess what? More is coming. And the Bible says in abundance. How do I get abundance revelation? Start nurturing and start treasuring the one you've already been given. Then more will come to you. That's the word of God. It's just been revealed to me. It's 4 minutes away from 12. But that came by Timex. Or whatever the name of that clock is. We need to capture this thing about him speaking, him giving us the rhema words that we need to live by, because they'll never be in contradiction of this one. You need to know and understand he wants you to know it. He's given you the access to it. He wants you to treasure what he's already given to you and hold it and ponder it and hold it. That's what Mary treasured it in her heart and pondered it. And then when that happens, more revelation is coming. I'm telling you, the church will accelerate beyond measure just by walking in his rhema words given to us and the word of God. Knowing this word, following the Spirit. Amen? You ready for that?
Yes.
Sign me up. Wave at me. Sign me up. I'm in. Say, I'm all in. I'm all in. Father, we thank you for this time we've had together. We thank you for the word. We thank you for the revelation. We thank you for the Spirit. We thank you, Lord, that we're gathered together in your name. And when we're doing that, you said, I am in your midst. So you have been in our midst the whole time we've been gathered together. And Lord, let none of the seeds that has been sown today from your word, let none of them be plucked by the fowl of the air, taken away. Lord, we just ask you to shoo away all the fowl of the air, the lies that want to come and pluck it and take it away so it can't get in the ground. Lord, we just ask you to produce fruit. Make us more fruitful in this revelatory dimension that you said we could enter into and that we have from you. In Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen. Amen. God bless you. Thank you, online streamers, for being with us.
Thank you for listening to the Father's Vineyard podcast. If you'd like more information about Father's Vineyard, please visit us 24/7 at www.fathersvineyard.org. Or you can call the office at 828-287-2868. Thanks again.